Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Masterson Inheritance. By the beginning of the 20th century, the Masterson family had become fashionable, notorious, and larger than life. Was there then a more appropriate way for them to travel than aboard one of the most celebrated cruise liners of the age, the Hercules? Tonight, our team of performers will attempt to spontaneously dramatize the story of the Masterson family aboard that mighty vessel. A story based entirely on the suggestions of our studio audience. No script, no rehearsals, just an audience and a couple of microphones. To bring you this story of desire, desertion, and decoits, tonight we have Josie Lawrence, Fela McDermott, Paul Merton, Caroline Quentin, Lee Simpson, and Jim Sweeney! Right, I'm actually going down into our audience now, our studio audience, to get some suggestions for the beginning of the show. And the first thing we need to ask you is a suggestion of something to do on a large cruise liner.
Billiards.
Billiards. A game of billiards. Yeah, okay. Game of billiards. Good. The next thing we need a suggestion for is why someone would go to America. Maybe they're leaving something or they're going to something.
Or to get some chocolate chip cookies.
To get some chocolate chip cookies. So they're going to America to get some chocolate chip cookies. Because 7-Eleven are closed. The next suggestion. Somebody on the boat has something very special in their luggage. What is it?
A parrot with a wide vocabulary.
A parrot with a wide vocabulary. Thank you. Unfortunately, we don't have any performers with a wide vocabulary. Now, the last thing is a suggestion of the title for tonight's show, and we'd like it to contain the word Masterson, so the something of the Mastersons, or the Mastersons do something, something like that.
The Mastersons go down.
Right, we have, from our audience, billiards, chocolate chip cookies, parrot with a wide vocabulary, the Mastersons go down. The Masterson Inheritance. The Mastersons go down. The Hercules was a magnificent ship. She was no less than a floating city, for every strata of society was represented aboard her. The first-class passengers had every luxury you could require, including an extensive series of billiard and snooker tables. Taking advantage of this was Elliot Fothergill with his friend Gladstone Mallory.
Well, do you have any plans when you go to America?
Plans? What are plans, really? Simply schemes and ideas that you think of in advance.
I've never seen it that way before. It's so clear.
Yes, yes. Oh, no time for plans. I'll instinctively do what I instinctively will.
Well, I'm going over there. I've discovered they have a certain type of biscuit I intend to bring back to England and make my fortune.
Certain type of biscuit? Good Lord, never heard such a thing.
My shot, isn't it?
Yes. What's that, babe?
Of course.
And so their merry game continued. Elsewhere in first class was a Masterson, one Jennifer Masterson. She was in her stateroom with her lady's maid, Beryl.
What's America like, ma'am, begging your pardon?
I've never been there before. I hear it's a wonderful place. A place of freedom and democracy.
Do you think I'll make a new life for myself as well?
No, no, you'll always be a slave.
But if all men are equal, how come I'll still be your maid?
Because you're British.
Got about that.
That's right.
More champagne?
Yes, please. Drop a brandy in that as well, please.
But Beryl could not help reminding her mistress of the love she had left behind, a love she had grown bored of, a love that had not turned out well for Jennifer.
What about that love yet, Elizabeth?
Oh, Jasper. Yes, I loved him, but I he let me down so terribly badly. And when I found out he was seeing Mrs. Arbuthnot, I had to leave. We were to be married, you know.
Back at the billiard table, Elliot and Gladstone were just finishing off their game.
Ah, there we are.
Yes.
It's a lot easier if you don't bother with the sticks. Just use your hand.
That's more fun.
Another glass of champagne.
Yes, there is. A new type of biscuit, you say?
Yes, they call it the chocolate chip cookie.
Good Lord, it's the work of the devil.
Tremendously popular with the chaps over there.
Really?
I intend to get the recipe and bring it back to England and make myself the chocolate chip cookie king.
With that, Elliot walked off. But he'd given Gladstone an idea. Gladstone had money troubles Gladstone had speaking troubles of his own. And money troubles too. And a new type of biscuit might solve them all for him.
If I can get to America before he does... It means standing closer to the gangplank. I could find out who makes these chocolate chip cookies and sign them up for myself.
But a ship does not run on its own. The heart of the ship was the engine room. And down in the engine room was the chief engineer, Bob Mumford. He was a proud fellow, and he loved the ship as if it was his very own dear wife.
Ah, marry me, army beauty! You're running fine today. I'm running around wood.
Captain, Captain, the engines won't take it.
We've used all the dilithium crystals now.
Looks like we'll have to use coal.
It was Eric, who was the assistant engineer, who insisted on calling the chief engineer captain.
To him, he was.
Aye.
If you don't know what to say, just pick a letter from the alphabet.
B.
W.
U.
T.
Another glass of champagne.
It was cheaper champagne down here, of course. Bob looked around admiringly at the work that he had done on this great engine.
I built this engine myself. You see this engine? She'll never go wrong. Nothing
That's
will
a proud
ever
boast for an engine to say it'll never go wrong.
Meanwhile, on the upper deck, Jennifer was taking a stroll.
Oh, it's so bracing. It's lovely.
And it was then that she saw, coming around the top of the poop deck, a gentleman. It could not be. Yet it was. It was Jasper.
Oh, no, my heart. Stop my beating heart.
Hello!
Oh, Jasper.
Jennifer!
Did you follow me?
I did. I came in the rowing boat.
Oh, it's so like you.
Oh, Jennifer!
Yes?
Will you marry me? Please come back to me.
Oh, don't torture me, Jasper! You've done this to me before. You broke my heart once. You cannot break it again.
Why not?
Because it's bloody unkind.
But, Jennifer, we were made for each other. I love you.
Then why were you seeing Mrs. Arbuthnot on the QT?
Oh.
Yes, that's right, I know.
Oh, but Jennifer, she means nothing to me now. She's nothing, just a bit of fluff. It's you I love.
If only I could believe you.
But she could not, and Jasper could see that she did not, and so he slowly walked away.
Oh, dear.
But as he walked, and she watched him go, she had to admit her heart had softened somewhat at the sight of his manly figure and his butch voice. But love was not only to be found in the upper decks, in the luxurious state rooms of the rich and titled. Love also blossomed amongst the crew. And Eric, the assistant chief engineer, was meeting his sweetheart. He had to meet her quickly and briefly, for their time was brief, for they worked so hard. She was a maid aboard the ship. It was, of course, young Beryl.
I can't stay long. I love you. Goodbye.
Billy.
Elliot Fothergill. Elliot Fothergill had gone back to his cabin, back to his stateroom, and there, his wife. Her name was Amelia.
Have you been drinking again?
I might have had one or two, yes.
Damn it.
I'm so sick to death of being left on my own. At the bottom of this stinking ship while you go upstairs and play snooker.
You're such an attractive woman. Don't you understand?
What?
Don't make business deals up there, none with you and your drunken, slovenly behaviour showing me up.
Oh, it's cookie business, is it? That's all it is with you. Biscuit, bloody biscuits. Peak cream, butter bourbons. Jammy bloody dodgers. Ooh, don't you ever think about anything savoury.
You've become terribly bitter lately, haven't you? Don't you understand? If I can get the chocolate chip cookie and bring it back to England, it'll make us our fortune.
Oh, you said it before. Remember we travelled to Ireland? You'd heard of some sort of butter pecan nonsense.
That was the butter pecan nonsense biscuit.
This is pretty poet.
What have you got in that case?
Who's a bright individual?
I demand you open that case now.
Very well.
Who's got a wide intellect of the male persuasion?
There, look.
Hollywood's a cracker.
You bought the parrot.
Yes, I gotta talk to somebody. You're doing your biscuit chat with the boys all the bloody time.
Polly wants a semi-detached house in Chiswick.
I love this parrot. This parrot loves me.
Get a kiss.
I'll be back later. Get rid of that parrot or you've seen the last of me.
Gladstone Mallory had been standing outside the stateroom of Elliot when he had stormed out. He gently opened the door and walked in.
Hello, Gladstone.
Join the cruise. Nice parrot.
He's sweet, isn't he?
Very, very nice parrot. I just wondered, you see,
Why don't you have a little chat with him?
Hello. Hello. Do you want to hear my life story? I could listen to it for hours. All right, don't interrupt then.
Wait a minute.
It all starts...
Wait!
Mandalay is a place I didn't previously know until 1868.
Shut up!
I'll never forget Helen.
Shut up!
Beryl was going about her duties, the duties of a lady's maid. Jasper approached her.
Sir Jasper, what are you doing here?
Thing was, you see, he'd fallen on hard... He'd fallen on rather hard times, and he wasn't in the first-class staterooms. In fact, he was down in steerage. That was why he hadn't met up with Jennifer before now. He hadn't been able to tell her. He felt he'd lost face with her, and if she thought that he wasn't a success, she'd never go back with him.
Get the picture!
I do! That's awful! No! She couldn't be seen dead with you, Jasper! No, she's a Masterson!
Actually, Beryl, I say... I find you rather attractive.
Me?
Yes.
You like Walt?
I most certainly do.
Well, there's a turn up. Well, what you looking at me like that for? Let go of my apron. No, you'll tear it. Stop it.
I say.
And he took her there. He could not help himself. It was the same with Mrs. Arbuthnot.
Sorry, just couldn't help myself.
And he left her weeping on the stateroom floor. Gladstone Mallory and Amelia had got on very well together. He liked her parrot. They had begun to plot.
Ship's a dangerous place. Not as dangerous as the sea, though.
I think it should be a lethal combination.
Yes, but at the moment he's on the ship. If we can get him into that sea, the chances of him surviving are zero.
I like your thinking.
What I suggest is...
Yes.
Tonight at the masked ball...
Yes.
We push him over the side. Why wait for the masked ball? Where is he? Let's go and do it now.
No.
What you've got to do...
Because what?
...is to persuade him to go as something very heavy that doesn't float.
Well, that's an amazing coincidence.
Why?
I've got a fancy dress costume in the wardrobe, which is a 10-ton weight.
Ideal.
Beryl went running down to Bob. Running down to Bob in the engine room. Running down with her dress all torn and her eyes full of shamed tears.
And what's the matter with you, then? Oh, dearie, your little frock is all torn.
Oh, no, it's been ripped. Ripped apart by a maid.
Then she realised she'd gone to the wrong person. This was not, in fact, her lover, who
I... Yeah, where's Eric? That's it. I'm going to see him.
Ah, so I've got the two of you together, just as I suspected. Well, you can consider me not your boyfriend anymore. As far as I'm concerned, you two can shack up together.
It's not my day, is it? I've got to go anyway. I've got to get myself together. I've got to get my lady's dress ready for the masked ball tonight. Are you going to go upstairs and see it, Captain Bob?
All I know about is engines.
And it's a very fine engine you've got here.
No woman had ever commented on his engine before. Before now, they'd all been bored, but there was a light in her eyes as she looked at the pistons and the rods.
What are those things going up and down?
Hey, they're the pistons going in and out. Look how smooth they are, That's a beautiful machine, that is.
Wonderful.
Would you like to try the controls?
Could I? What do I do? Just pull this thing.
Just grab that little lever there. Put your little hand around it. Oh. And pull.
Oh, he was a crafty devil.
Look, the pistons are going up and down faster and faster.
That's right.
Oh, I'm covered in black oil all over my body. Especially on these bits.
I have to say, you're a fine piece of work yourself. A finely tooled machine.
Your pistons aren't bad either. I've got to go. Perhaps I'll come down and look at your machinery again later. Bye.
And so she went. And for the first time, when a woman left his engine room, he looked at her and not back at his engine. Elliot returned to his stateroom. He was busying himself with this and that when he heard a voice from the case.
Let me out. the case. I've got some very interesting things to tell you.
Look, I don't want anything to do with you. You just stay in that case and stay out of my life.
I think I'll make it worth your while.
What do you mean, make it worth my... You're a parrot. How can you make it worth my while?
I know something you don't know.
For God's sake! All right, I'll let you out of the case.
Who's a pretty boy?
Is that it? All right, back in the case. Go on, back in the case.
No. Just warming up. Polly wants a cracker.
Polly will get a smack in the chops in a minute.
Your wife is going to kill you tonight.
What? Going to kill me?
Yes, tonight. Whatever you do, don't get disguised as a very heavy weight. That's what they'll be expecting you to do.
Very well, then. I won't disguise myself as a very heavy weight.
No, go with a great big slab of polystyrene.
Thank you, Polly. Thanks.
And off he went. Jennifer was very confused. Her heart had softened towards Jasper, but she wasn't sure. She knew of his predilections and she knew the way she was. She'd wandered about and had found herself wandering around on the third class deck. There was a brutish-looking fellow. It was Eric. He was tossing stones into the sea. He seemed very unhappy. She...
Oh, that's better. Sorry, I got these kidney stones. Gotta get them into the sea.
It's a wonderful sight.
Aye, that people have paid to see that if only I advertised properly.
A wonderful man. It's very crowded down here, isn't it?
Aye.
I'm pushed against you. I can hardly get past. And I find myself pushing closer and closer to you. And you with no shirt on and covered with engine grease. It's oh. Oh.
I reckon you're up for it tonight. They'll be dancing in the streets of Kilmarnock. I've always looked for a woman like this. Bloody accent's killing me.
Not much for me, either.
I've always wanted a woman like you. One who was very easy. Did I tell you, I've just come back from Denmark, where I lived for 5 years.
No, but it doesn't surprise me.
I've got irritable bowel syndrome.
I know, I understand.
I
tried being Scottish once. It was exhausting.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't know why. Last time I was in Glasgow, they seemed to pass out on the streets. It was such a strain. And you were having the same trouble, I see. You're a fine man. Would you care to visit my state apartment this evening?
But I'm not allowed to visit the state apartment.
I shall visit you tonight. Down here.
You'll be able to recognise me. I'll be the one.
Yes.
I'll be the one from Venezuela.
And so their tryst was made. Elliot and Amelia were getting ready for the masked ball.
Darling.
Yeah.
What are you going to wear tonight at the masked ball?
I thought I might go disguised as a lifeboat. Listen.
Yes.
I know all about your plan. Yes.
How did you find out?
Polly told me.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I'm gonna kill that ghastly parrot. Come here, get out of that case.
What was the cracker?
Don't touch me.
Polly wants a life support system.
But it was too late. She squeezed the life from her former feathered friend. And he squawked his last. The door flew open. Framed against the starlight was Gladstone.
I'm sorry to go as a band leader tonight. Here are my cymbals, here are my orchestra. What do you think?
Fabulous. He knows about the plan.
What plan?
Don't deny it now,
you. I know nothing of any plan. I wouldn't do anything to harm my good friend here.
Gladstone, would you turn your back on me now at this juncture?
The woman's obviously drunk. Give it to her.
Somebody as drunk as you could easily take an accident. In 5 minutes, you're going to fall over. Out that porthole.
He closed in on her.
No.
Menace in his eyes.
Stop it.
Look at the size of that wave. It's right over the top of the ship. Trouble is, Elliot.
Yes?
I saw what you did.
Oh, damn. One flaw in my otherwise perfect plan.
Of course, I needn't say anything if you want to make me a partner in your chocolate chip cookie idea.
Why not? Why don't we go in a partnership together?
Yes, and I wondered if you'd like to share a bed with me tonight.
save money, you understand?
Yes.
Dress ready. I wouldn't like to talk about it. It's not for your ears, madam. You're a classy lady. You wouldn't want to hear me getting ravaged by your ex-fiancé and then going down and being covered in oil by a piston.
I don't know.
I've got to tell you, Mum. I'm glad you didn't marry that Jasper.
Why, Belle?
Because he's not good, no, no, neither, no, never, he has been, no, neither. He came in here, he took one look at me, he ripped off my apron, he ripped off my skirt, and he did all that sweaty, pulpy stuff my mum and dad used to do when we shared a bedroom.
Papier-mâché?
Yes, papier-mâché, and then he took me.
You poor child.
And he's poor, too. Lives down in the steerage, he does.
There's nothing wrong with a poor man, you know.
Oh, but there is. There is when he's as dirty as what he is. Oh, that's another thing. My fiancé gave me a big E. Called me with a captain and thought I was doing things with him, but I wasn't nothing doing work. They're just messing with his levers.
You're mad, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am, beg your pardon.
But Beryl... But it was not all bad news for Beryl, for Bob, the fellow who had shown her the levers, had won her heart in a way that Eric never had.
Hello, Bob.
Hello there, Beryl. I've been thinking about you ever since I've been away.
Oh, that's nice, Bob, because I've been thinking about you too.
That's a mighty fine accent you're taking on there.
Thank you.
I've been wondering.
Yes?
I think maybe it's time to say goodbye to this old engine of mine. I think maybe I'd like something else to think about at night when I'm in my bed.
What, like a family?
Aye. We wee bairns.
What?
Wee bairns.
Wee bairns?
No, not wee bairns. Wee bairns. Little babbies. Running round.
And he took her...
Don't listen to him, he's been talking to me.
He took her in his brawny arms.
Oh, and you're so strong.
He kissed her and asked her to be his wife. Many did it one after the other, so she did it. Beryl was not the only one to go down to the lower decks.
Hello, you there? Oh.
Just listening to my linguaphone records.
Really paid off.
Aye. Romanian's not an easy language to learn. But by God, I'm going to give it a go.
Eric, I have something to say to you.
Aye.
I love you. And I'm going to do something now. I'm going to ask you to be my husband. I'm very moved. I've loved you from the moment I set eyes on you. You're a good man. You can't speak properly. You can't sustain an accent for more than 30 seconds. But I love you and I'd like you to be my husband.
And Jennifer, I'd like to ask you to be my bride. But I daren't.
And so they were married. They were married, and they went to America to build a new life. Jennifer had done what so few Mastersons had done before. She had left the hide-bound society, the rigid rules, and the lust for power, which was her family's trait. She had found love in a class below hers. And she was heading for a society where class didn't matter, where she could start anew, where she could build a new Masterson inheritance. In the Masterson Inheritance, you heard Josie Lawrence, Fela McDermott, Paul Merton, Caroline Quentin, Lee Simpson, and Jim Sweeney. Dialogue, music, and sound effects were improvised live at the Paris studio. The studio managers were John Whitehall, Wilfred Acosta, and Alison Carter. The producer was Phil Clark.